welcome everybody to another episode of the Cardboard Cave podcast. I am one of your hosts, John Ramos. We have Chris right there in the background. We will be having JP shortly because there's a lot of issues going on today, but it happens, guys. But we are here tonight for all of you. And then let's go ahead and do a couple of nitpicks before we do anything else. If you guys want our merchandise, you can just go ahead and go on the top. The link is right there. You just have to click it, check the store, and get any product that you like. It will go straight to your home. So it's really just buying it and then going straight to your home, and is supporting us, and you will be supporting the Cardboard Cave, and it will be awesome for you as well. We have a lot of different designs. If you see a design that you think that you want a specific color shirt, just tell us and we can add it to our merch store as well. Go to altersleeves.com, use our affiliated link, or as well you can use our affiliation code Cardboard Cave. Like that, you can get 5% off your order, and as well you will be supporting us as well if you want to spice up your commander and making it look really nice. One more thing before we go ahead and present our friend Chris. Let me go ahead and do something here. Boop. We will be making a small giveaway, but first we need to make some milestones. Right now we are at Twitch. We are at 342 followers. We would love to get to 350 followers. At TikTok, we're at 184. We would love to get to 200. And as well on Facebook, we're at 293, and our goal is to get 300. Why do I say this? Because if we do get those goals on those platforms, we will be giving away to three lucky fans sealed. Let's see if the camera won't let me see them, but let's see if I can put them here. So these are sealed Secret Lair Surprise basic lands. They're foil. They're from different artists. We have two swamps and a mountain. So when we reach each of these milestones, we will be giving them away to three of you. We will be putting the instructions as soon as we get to the milestone. We're really close to all of them, so your support, it will help us grow. And as well, we are finishing up our Discord just for you guys. So I'm going to go ahead and present to you the master of the goblins, our friend and one and only, Chris. You're muted.
There we go. How about now?
Now we can hear you.
All right. So, hey, how's it going, everyone? I mean, everyone in this case just being John for now, but like, you know, also our listeners, how's it going? Type in the comments.
Yes, type in the comments. Remember, you can share the podcast on Twitch or on YouTube or on Facebook. Share it to your friends if you have somebody that's starting Magic the Gathering or somebody that loves Magic the Gathering content as well. So let's go ahead. I know that, Chris, you have a busy rest night moving forward for you. So we're going to go ahead and touch bases on a couple of things so that we can move forward and leave the Mark Rosewater teaser list at the end, because I know that is like the...
like JP's specialty, essentially.
Exactly. That's JP's specialty. Let me go ahead and look for our first topic of the night.
I think we're gonna start talking about those secret layer goodies that were popping up.
Yes, the secret layer goodies that have been popping out. Let me go ahead. Facebook is kind of being a little laggy today, so Facebook page is not refreshing. But either way, if you do follow us on TikTok, the secret layer goodies is already there if you guys want to check them out. So Chris, while I have the shared screen, remember, just pay attention to the chat like that. I can go ahead and dabble here. So here we go. So we have a couple of secret layer goodies, because if you guys all know, recently in the previous episode, we did speak that slivers have been appearing in some secret layers. So apparently we are getting more slivers and as well some blueprint style cards. If you guys remember, there was a couple of secret layer surprise goodies as well, like Swiftfoot boots, and I don't remember, I think there was two other more that you could have gotten them as lottery in your secret layer. So we do have a couple of those more, and then we have Siphon Sliver, Opaline Sliver, Cloud Shredder Sliver are the slivers that are going to be added to the secret layer surprise gift now. And they, if you see, they all have that full art treatment. And as well, we have Reliquary Tower as our blueprint that I really want. I want like five because it looks amazing. It's a combination of like the old art, like the first one that came out, with give me 1 second. I got good news, but not for you guys still. It's for us, yes. For you guys, later.
Dang it.
got Hedron Archive as our other blueprint. They don't have like a really good picture of it, but they did post this one. I think somebody did pull it in one of the recent secret layers. And as well, Pilgrim's Eye is the other card that it got the blueprint style secret layer as well. What do you think about this, Chris? Do you like the idea? Do you like the fact that these cards are being like reprinted and being even though they're lottery, we did check recently on the previous episode, we did check the prices are not going up or down.
Like absolutely insane either, you know, like they're mm-hmm. not like super overpriced for what they are, because, and it's kind of surprising because, you know, you would expect a lottery card like this to skyrocket in price, but then again, if you think a lot of the stuff that we're seeing, I would have supposed that the slivers were going to go up in price because they're kind of like really niche, you know, like a lot of there's like a very select few people that like slivers a lot and that just like collecting them. So I don't know. I thought it was gonna go up in price a lot, but I guess it didn't because of how like niche slivers are. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe there's just more people getting a lot of these lottery cards than mm-hmm. we initially thought there was. Like it's no mystery that like Wizards of the Coast sales with like secret layer product and pretty much any product like these last few years has like skyrocketed. So maybe there's just more of these lottery cards out there than we realize, but I think we would have to delve a little bit more into those secret layer numbers to be able to really figure that out.
It is correct. But again, it's something that that we've been like that we've been talking about, that not all the time the cards that do get reprinted or get these like the treatments, they don't get to like be high price cards. You can get them at a reasonable price.
Mm-hmm.
Let me check the if I can get okay, let me see, there we go, let me see if I found it. Okay, no, so I did find I will just put the art because I think the link, probably they already dropped it, but it's something that did happen. Oh wait, no, it's right here, let me see if it's still available. Oop. Yes it is. Oh, they changed it. I knew that this was going to happen, but it's okay. Let me go ahead and share it. So another action stream. So another thing that did happen is very quick. The MTG 30 festival box was available for people that cannot go to Las Vegas. It was going to be including the Arcane Signet, Foiled Etch, the Soul Ring, a M30 playmat, the Secret Lair.
There's
that they announced
commander decks there too, right?
Yes, they were going to it's Buckle Up and the other one from Kamigawa, the 100 card deck box, the one that's exclusive for the event, the sleeves of the Secret Lair, 100 sleeves. But the most important thing about this festival box was that it was going to be including a mystery box convention booster box. So this is what's going to be for $269.99. It was a great price because, again, this mystery booster box, especially the convention ones, are going, like, the prices always fluctuate. But the issue was not that. The issue was that when Wizards of the Coast announced this virtual ticket, the issue was that it went sold out too quickly. And the thing is that when it went sold out, it still was available for people to purchase. The thing is that when you were about to go to purchase, the website would say to you, no, we can't get this rolling. You can't do this. You can't do that. So it was a very big hassle. So, Chris, while I get ready for the other quick bit, what do you think about this crazy stuff?
I mean, it's kind of surprising that Wizards of the Coast had that kind of oversight with this kind of product, considering the insane numbers that they would have been getting for the event in itself, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
But it's not entirely something that I would say is, like, unexpected from Wizards of the Coast. With how things have just been happening, I feel like they're, I don't know if it's either a shortage of cardboard or what's going on, but, like, anything that Wizards of the Coast is, like, putting out is getting sold out and, like, going way over their expectations when it comes to just the amount of product they're printing for everything. So it'd be interesting to kind of take a more in-depth look at, like, what is going on behind the scenes at either Wizards of the Coast or just worldwide, really, with like how the economy's been acting up and all that kind of stuff. Actually, were you able to get your hands on the convention, on, like, this box, or no?
I was going to get it, but then I told my wife, like, hey, let me just wait until I start my new job and get my first paycheck and whatnot, because I thought that this was going to be like a product, like, you know, when you go to China Fireball, that you can just buy their convention boxes at any time.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that you could have done that. But then when I did see this issue happen, then I was like, holy shit, like,
yeah, like, hella FOMO.
Yeah, like, well, whatever, you know, I can't get it, fine. I did fill out the grant for the MTG event. I did fill it out, so yeah. Kudos to see if I get the grant. They will be only choosing 10 people for the grant. The grant is that they will be giving you the Black Lotus VIP package for free, and as well $2,000 to be able to do your for expenses and stuff. So that's good, because, again, if you think smart, the only thing that will be expensive is your plane ticket. The only thing that you would need is just find an Airbnb for like 2 days, and that's it. At least if I do get the grant, I can just talk to our friend Carlos that he is really going to the event at Las Vegas. So I can be like, hey, can I bunk with you?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it would be much more easier. Like, hey, can I bunk with you? Come on. But one of the other things,
I'll sleep in the same bed, the chola papita.
Exactly. One of the other things, amazing things, Chris, that this is something that it hurt me a lot, because I don't remember if I did play the
before you do move on, though. I did also want to, like, kind of interject here. On the box that they have on the site, do we know if it's like convention edition, or is it convention retail edition?
I think it's convention retail, because, you know, it sold out pretty fast. So, and they're not doing it again. Wizard of the Coast already said that they're not going to bring this product again. So it's just like a one-time thing and that's it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like if it's a one-time like one thing product, I would assume that it's gonna be a like convention box, because that's the one that's actually like worth anything. If it's a convention retail, because I don't know if you were like aware, there's essentially three mystery booster boxes, right? They have the retail mystery booster box.
No, this is the convention. No. This is the one that you can get the test cards.
Yeah, because that's the thing. There's a convention edition that's made for retail, and you get the cards, but they have the Planeswalker stamp at the bottom.
So no, but this one is cards... convention.
Okay. All right.
Convention booster box. That's what the listing said.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, I think that's what Magic Historian said is that due to the fact that this is the convention booster box, it makes sense of the price, because those booster boxes fluctuate a lot in price.
Yeah.
You know, so one of the other things that is going to be really quick, and at least it hurts me because it hurts the developer company that worked hard on this. So Spellslingers is already available in the Apple App Store and in the Android Store as well. This is the fun fact. The fun fact is that Wizard of the Coast did not promo the game at all on its launch. It was just there.
Not even pre-launch. There was like absolutely nothing.
There was beta testing. You know, they did a beta and everything, but again, it was unannounced. It was just there. This game was hidden from Wizard of the Coast, probably because they thought that this was going to be a fail. And apparently a lot of people are very mad at the development company. Why? Because there's still a lot of the game is still buggy. The game still has Lorem Ipsum text in certain places of the game when it's not supposed, that's not supposed to happen. When we mean Lorem Ipsum, is this type of text that people, including myself, graphic designers or web developers, use to fill up spaces of your art, like that the person that's going to buy your art or that contracted you can see at least how the art is going to look with text. So the game still has a couple of those little Lorem Ipsum texts. The thing is that the other thing that the people are very, very, very arguing about is that this game is fully microtransaction. So it is a pay to win game. There is no, they do say that you can play the game for free, but if you want the other planeswalkers or other characters or other cards, you have to pay with microtransactions. So Chris, you hear about this. What do you think about what's going on in regards to not promoting Spellslingers?
If Wizards of the Coast initially thought that this was going to be a flop, that already tells you a lot, considering the quality of the product that they've released before in relation to video games. The Diablo clone that they tried last time being a glaring example. You know, honestly, I don't even think it was absolutely terrible. It just all went to hell once you like saw all the microtransactions and how unoptimized the game was. Like, I sometimes can't believe the amount of testicles that Wizards of the Coast has of releasing essentially unfinished products and then on top of that putting microtransactions in them. Like, and a lot of companies does this. This isn't something that's exclusive to Wizards of the Coast. We've seen a lot of this stuff happening in gaming for like the past 10 years, like crazy. Like the glaring examples being something like Cyberpunk or No Man's Sky, like being the more notorious of the examples, right? But
yeah,
I don't know what's going on. Like again, behind the scenes at Wizards HQ, like WotC, Hasbro. Like, you guys are rolling in cash right now. Get a good development team to make your video games. Like, what's going on?
Yes, I know, man. I don't understand why.
Like, there was also another mobile game. Like, Magic the Gathering has had more mobile games than I ever realized to launch on, like, the App Store and Android. Like, but a lot of them just kind of follow that same pattern. You don't really see any, if at all, like promo being done for them. Excuse me. Any or at all like promo being done for them, and they tend to either be an unbalanced mess, or they're super buggy, or microtransactions just really get in the way of having any fun with the game at all.
Yeah.
Like there's just kind of no in between. And until Wizards of the Coast comes up with, excuse me, I have like hiccups, comes up with something that is just more balanced in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is never going to work out for them. And like, sometimes it just makes me ask myself, like, why even put in all that money and effort to make a half-ass product? Like, what's the long-term goal here? I don't understand.
Is this
all just essentially playtesting for like some grand like Nicole Bolas level like video game scheme? Like, I don't know, Wizards. You gotta give me something here. Throw me a bone, man.
But it happened exactly the same thing when Arena was in the beta phase.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that got the invite to play the beta, because you couldn't play the beta unless you were invited, because they wanted to make sure that people that were over 2K planeswalker points, because back in the day there was like a point system in Magic the Gathering,
and we still have it. No,
I don't think
like,
so
with like the WPN like system, like I'm pretty sure they like rack up your points for tournaments, don't they?
Let me check on my companion app. Because that's why the app is. That's why the app exists.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a companion app. Like, I would assume that if you have a companion app, the whole point is to keep track of like the points for the tournaments that you register. If not, like, what's even the point? Like, I suppose that the underlying like point.
I have to log in, so I don't know
for the store to like register. But that still doesn't make any sense. I'm actually
for
it in the companion now, but I don't see anything that even.
That says like how many planeswalker points you have.
Yeah, no, I guess. Wow, if this doesn't actually do that, like this, that's a huge bummer, to be honest.
It is. So like, back in the day, guys, like a couple of years ago, so when you would go to your local game store, instead of using the companion app, you would have a special code that was called your DCI. I still have mine.
Yes.
That code, you would give it to your local game store, and then you would register to your to the tournament. From there, depending on what place you would what place you landed, that's how many planeswalker points you would get. So depending on how many players, that's how many planeswalker points.
I think ties were based off of planeswalker points too. No,
yes, exactly. Even ties were, you would get like half. I think you would get like half a portion of how many, depending on how the tie went. Because if it was a natural 1-1, then that's fine. If it was a one and one, but the turn ended because of time, then both players would only get half of the points. So when Arena was announced, people that were listed in with more than 2K planeswalker points would get the invite. Why they made sure there was 2K? Because they were making sure that is people that were playing constantly in local game stores. And not only that, depending on your region, you could know who would be on, like here in Puerto Rico, who are the top players in Puerto Rico, depending on your planeswalker points. Mm. What happened? When Arena was presented, everybody that started Arena with the beta phase, they got their decks ready, they played a lot, they played small events, and then when the game was presented fully to the people, we lost everything. And they only gave us like 4K gems to be able to compensate everything that we did and the time that we put in.
That, by the way, wasn't like anywhere near enough to compensate for the amount of cards that you had gained by then. And like, we're talking about, we had stuff from like, I think, wasn't there like stuff from Innistrad or something like that? Like, there was code for Innistrad cards in the game.
We had stuff.
So I remember Amonkhet, Ixalan.
It was legit Amonkhet and Ixalan. It was all that block. all that standard block. What's the one that's available when the beta was going?
Hazard red deck wins, like,
yes,
the standard block. Yes, let's go.
But then, Chris, I have something very juicy for you. So you know that these past few days, we've been speaking a lot about leaks. You know, everything is being leaked. The story was leaked. Johnny was leaked. The pre-order was leaked. How about if I tell you that a new set was leaked thanks to Amazon?
A whole new set, you say?
Yes. So if you type, I don't know if you can type it now, but if you would type Dominaria Remastered, you will find listings of Dominaria Remastered Draft Booster Box and Collector Booster Boxes as well. The thing is that the rumors are, Chris, this is the catch. This is another double feature treatment that Dominaria will be getting. Because you know that when Dominaria United ends, we go to Brothers War. So what they are saying, or the heavy rumors are saying, is that we are going to be getting a double feature treatment with Dominaria. And the rumors go furthermore into this. They do say that this double feature will be an old style frame for the cards that are going to be available in Brothers War and in Dominaria United. So, you know, if you remembered for double feature that a couple of days ago, we did speak about it, that this was Wizard of the Coast did mention that set was a complete failure for them. They tried to make these like movie style cards, but actually it was just reprints in grayscale, and that's it.
Yeah,
we didn't get anything special from it.
I mean, there were like some rares and mythics, I think, that actually did have like some special art or something, but it really just wasn't
okay. Yeah, but still, it wasn't worth, especially the price tag. It was too expensive for what it was. So we see this. The rumors are that we're going to be getting the cards from Dominaria United and then Brothers War. So, and plus, if you guys, whoever follows us on Facebook, a lot of art popped out for Dominaria United. A lot of characters, a lot of gorgeous lands that are in those arts, as well a special maybe reprint that, as well as being teased and as well as being rumored, that we're going to be getting Liliana the Veil back in standard. So we're going to be getting all of these cards with the old bordered style, quote unquote, maybe. But now those are the heavy rumors of Dominaria Remastered, that it's going to be like a double feature treatment. What do you think about this?
I feel like for Dominaria Remastered to even work, it's going to have to be something along the lines of like, especially like Double Masters kind of deal, not in like, in the, like, you know, the set being like super jam packed or anything. But definitely having something that sets it apart from the two Dominaria sets, aside from the art. So like either like, you know, like for example, let's say just to like put an example, instead of like you have like the normal set cards, and then you have like the opportunity of one of your mythics or rares of being like a Liliana, like a Last Hope, is it? Like the one that costs three, that's like that came out of Double Masters. But like something along those lines.
Yeah, Liliana the Last Hope, you mean Double Masters 20, this Double Masters? Yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that there should be some kind of like chase card or incentive that actually makes you buy these boxes, because if they're just gonna pull off double feature again, like what's in, like at the end of the day, like what's the point? Is it still better if they actually implement either old border or alternate art than whatever the hell it is they did, like than just doing grayscale like they did with double feature? Yeah, no, I think that's great, and I think that it's still a product that's going to sell, but in general I just don't think it's going to be a product worth buying if it's just going to be, oh, we're just going to mix the two sets together and put pretty art on it. Like I think that's just kind of a waste of time and resources, but I suppose that if Wizards is making money off of it, they won't see it that way.
I just hope that if they do this Dominaria remastered, I hope that it's a better product than Double Feature. You know,
to be fair, that's not such a high bar.
You know, I really do like old style bordered cards. So if they do this, I am going to be happy, you know, because old style borders are amazing. You know, when they did that with Time Spiral and with Modern Horizons 2, I went bonkers because a lot of the cards that I would use in Commander, they were in these old style border cards. And as well, if you go to your local game store and you waste $50 invest $50 on your local game store and on yourself, you would get an old border style Sol Ring with the recent artwork that we get reprinted in every Commander. But still, it is fun seeing these cards reprinted in old style framing. So I just hope that this product will be better and that it's not a scam, you know, like Double Feature, because we expected more for Double Feature. I would still buy a box just because I want to have a couple of those cards in my Commander and for fun, you know, because, you know, it's just a fun set. But in the planes called Dominaria, this planes is very important for a lot of us because it's an important plane in regards of Magic the Gathering lore.
I mean, it's basically the first plane where absolutely everything worked, like went down, you know, like this is like essentially the almost a nexus in the multiverse, you know.
That is true. So, Chris, before we go to our final topic, there will be the Mark Rosewater list. Sadly, JP can't make it. His internet service is wonkers due to Luma, because here in Puerto Rico, guys, we do have issues with the light service and power. I was actually afraid because where I'm living, the power was about to go out. I was like, well, that means that we have to reschedule this for another day. But at least we're right here with you guys. So, guys, August 31st is very important that you put it in your calendar. It's very important that you don't miss it. It's very important that when it goes live, you share this live stream, because it's going to be our first Commander Fan Night. It's going to be at August 31st at 9:00 at night. You will see myself, Chris, Orengo, and JP going head to head with two of our fans. One of them is from the UK, the other one is from the States. So you're going to have interesting Commander decks going at it. Obviously, well, we here in the Cardboard Cave, we will be using the ones that you have seen previously, even though I have been changing up Shurikai a little bit, so it is doing what I want it to do. But don't miss out this event, because this event will be amazing. And as well, like we've mentioned before, if you guys want to be in the next Commander Fan Night, just go ahead, DM us a message on Facebook or on TikTok or in the chat and say, hey, I want to join you guys and be part of an episode. And we'll go ahead and coordinate everything. We did already have our meeting for Rule Zero. It was really fun. Sadly, it was really late, so we couldn't stay talking with our fans, but it was a great experience, you know, even though it's digital, but it was a great experience with them. So, Chris, are you excited?
Heck yeah. What do you mean? Where are you asking these questions, John? I mean, am I supposed to, like, oh, no, we're just playing with, like, a pair of people that watch us every once in a while. Like, oh, that's boring. No, so Chris, like, this is great.
So, yeah. Chris, this is the Mark Rosewater list.
Yes.
The list. So we're going to go through it one by one, give our opinion, and move forward to the next one, because Chris has things to do. So, and sadly, we don't have JP with us. That's the sad part. I really do wish that JP was with us, like that he can give us his piece of the pie. give me one second. Let me fix this.
Usually JP is the one who like gets a lot of these predictions pretty spot on.
He is the one that gets them. So let's go ahead. First one is a new evergreen counter. I know that you guys were talking about this card in the chat. Is this card going to be a green card?
No. Evergreen meaning like, you know, like with evergreen mechanics that it just like comes out in like almost every set pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the thing, like that's what I understood the first time I read it. I went insane because I was like, oh, what do you mean? Green is getting a counter spell? And then it's like, wait, no, a new evergreen counter. What I'm not sure about is if like, and this is just like a personal thing. I don't know if like anyone else has made that, like that has had that confusion. When they say evergreen counter, is it a new like counter that you place on like permanent, or is it like a counter spell? Like a,
exactly.
Like, you know, that's what I'm not sure on. I'm pretty sure that like maybe someone on Reddit or even Mauro himself has clarified that. I just haven't seen any clarification on it at least.
Me neither, man. I really don't. Okay, so I'm going to be honest with you guys. I really don't want another counter-based mechanic. We've been getting it for so many sets that I'm already tired of it. And the sad part is that some of these counter effects, we don't use them in future sets. So it's like you present us the new mechanic and it's like there, but it does not exist. Like in Ikoria, you gave us Mutate. Have we seen Mutate again?
No. You probably never will.
Exactly.
That's part of it.
And then we have Adventure. Did we see it in the D&D set? We did see it in Commander Legends, the second Commander Legends.
Yeah, but I would say that it wasn't really enough of it.
Exactly.
To be able make a whole like thing, you know.
You know. So for me, I hope that this is a new counter spell. Probably in a color that it's odd. Like Chris mentioned, in green, it would be great because I know that we have counters.
Not green. Any color but green. No.
We have counters on white. We have counters on red.
No.
We have counters on blue, obviously.
It doesn't matter. I just don't want it to be in green. Look, green is gotten too much. Just give it a break.
Okay. So Chris, this is what I mentioned a couple of minutes ago. A popular Planeswalker card gets a reprint due to the Liliana the Veil artwork. I think we know which Planeswalker is. I don't know. But probably I really don't want it to be because you know that in other artworks we do see Teferi like in the background. So I don't want Teferi Hero of Dominaria to get reprinted again because
he already did get
reprinted for a championship event win card, and then it got reprinted on the Secret Lair celebrating Black History Month.
That was a really cool one though.
Yes, it was. I love that artwork. It's in my commander, so I love it. Reasons why I got that Secret Lair is because all of the art of the cards are so amazing. Especially Cultivate. Oof, gorgeous card.
I suppose that based off of the spoilers so far, Liliana is the one that makes sense. And a part of me would just kind of hope that it's I don't know, just someone different. Maybe like a Karn or something. I haven't seen like a fun Karn in a while. You know, at least Liliana had...
Yeah, but it says a popular like Planeswalker card. So
yeah,
it's
that's what I'm saying. I mean, the Karn was a pretty popular Planeswalker card.
Yeah, but which one, though? Which Karn do you want reprinted?
Oh, obviously, like the Karn that comes down for 7 and makes like your opponent's life impossible. Like the one we used to run in Tron?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you still run it in Tron, but...
Well, I don't have the Tron deck anymore, but if I would still have the Tron deck, yes, I would still be running that Karn. I still have the Tron lands. I know that our friend Carlos has the Tron deck. He invited me to go to the Modern event in ISD. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that I couldn't go, but I did want to go. I wanted to take the rust out of these hands of playing Modern.
Oh yeah,
and especially my favorite deck, Tron.
Yes.
This one is interesting. A blue card with destroy all creatures.
That to me sounds absolutely insane. I don't really expect it to be just flat out destroy all creatures, especially because it says a blue card with destroy all creatures. So I assume there's going to be like a perpetually destroy all creatures. Let's go. No, but like I was thinking it's either going to be like destroy all creatures with like. Okay, I'm sorry. I just kind of like thought of something. If you go out and you see like the evergreen counter thing, it's like, I don't know, maybe like destroy all creatures with like these like X counters or something. Assuming that that isn't like a counter spell of some kind, right? Blue card with destroy all creatures. I would assume that the condition probably has to do with either... You know, since we're going back to Dominaria and Urza was into genocide, it's going to actually have something to do with like a certain creature type, maybe like destroy all Phyrexian creatures or something. Or it's going to have to do with something like power and toughness or like something along those lines.
I think that power and toughness makes more sense because most of the blue cards that are like removal or... do something to creatures, most of them affect power and toughness.
Yeah, they tend to be something with like creatures with toughness equal to less than the amount of islands you control or something, for like putting it up back into your hand.
Yeah, because the other ones that are like destroy target or exile target thing, well, it's cards that give your opponent something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. The next teaser is a 5 mana value creature that can be a 10/10.
Part of me expects that to be one of those like level up creatures. Kind of like the one they did with like the Snowlands back in.
Yeah.
There's also the possibility that it like gets pumped up to 10/10. With another effect on the battlefield.
The sad part is it's going to be a 5 mana value creature, so unless the effect is very low cost, then it will be worth it to be in the 60 card slot.
There's also like, you know, we also have to consider that aside from being able to just be a 10/10, it could have keywords that highly affect how effective this thing is. Because imagine it's like, for like, just to put an example, if you have like 10 or less life, this creature becomes a 10/10. Mm-hmm. And then like it has like maybe haste or trample, and it's like, oh, that's insane, dude.
Yeah, it is. It is. Next card will be that we're going to have 3 original Weatherlight crew members are in the set.
All right, so at least on that part, I cannot off the top of my head remember which one of the Weatherlight members are alive, because I'm
isn't
pretty sure
Joyra
that
part
like,
of the Weatherlight.
No, she's not part of the original Weatherlight crew.
Oh, okay.
The original captain of the Weatherlight was Captain Sisse.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but you already have like Sisse's descendants and stuff like that. Yeah, it's not going to be Sisse. Yeah, exactly. So it's not going to be Sisse that's going to be like in the set. At least that's what I think, right? Mm-hmm. It's definitely not Joyra because she's one of the new Weatherlight crew members. I don't want to say I'm pretty sure, but like Karn has to be like one of those 3 original like Weatherlight crew members because he's in the story. So I would automatically assume that he's going to pop up in the set. I might be wrong, but that's what I'm assuming.
You imagine Karn, instead of being a planeswalker, being a creature again.
That would definitely be interesting, to be honest. That'd be interesting to think about, but they would have to somehow take his spark away, and I don't think that's what's going to happen, because all that Sheoldred did so far was just like bring down an entire cave on Karn and just leave him trapped. So I don't think that's going to be the case just yet. The original Weatherlight crew members. I can't remember a lot of people off the top of my head that are essentially immortal.
Now, this is why we need JP.
Yeah, definitely. But I am still gonna try to look that up real quick, because hold on.
So while you look for that, the next one is an ability word that didn't start as an ability word returns.
That one's really, really vague. And I feel like there's a lot of stuff that wasn't an ability word and then became an ability word. Mm-hmm. For example, lifelink used to be whenever this creature deals combat damage, you gain that much life. And then later in the game, that became lifelink. So I'm not 100% sure what that one could be at all, man.
Infect.
Word. Oh, wait, I understand now. The word returns, but was infect? Poison counters somehow without having infect before that?
I think so. I think that there were cards like that. But I don't know. That's the thing. But probably. You know, one of the ones that gets me very intrigued is that one that says rare cycle of 1+1 granting lords. So we're getting more lords.
Yes. We're going back to Dominaria. You're obviously going to have another goblin lord in there. Come on. Give me more goblin lords. I'm okay.
Another knight lord.
That is true. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that if it's going to be the five colors, right? I assume that white is going to be knights.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna try to assume humans, but I don't think so. So red is definitely goblins.
Blue is going to be wizards.
Wizards, that is true. I was thinking of merfolk originally, but I don't think there's even any merfolk in Dominaria. Not a large clan or tribe of merfolk in Dominaria.
Well, the last time that we got a lord for merfolks was in Ixalan.
Oh yeah, but that's a different thing.
True drop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
for black would be zombies. But I don't know what else can we get. Demons again?
Yeah, I would think it's really cool if there was a lord for demons, but I don't think there's enough cheap demons to be able to make a deck like that. I was trying to think of something else, maybe involving the Cabal somehow. Or maybe there's a Phyrexian lord.
How about Aetherborn?
Aetherborn. Well, I mean, if we were in the right plane, I'd say yes. We don't really have Aetherborn outside of Ixalan.
Well, rogues.
No, not Ixalan. Sorry, Kaladesh. Rogues. I think rogues is a possibility, but no, I think it's either going to be I think that the three mainline options here would be zombies. What was the other one? I literally just said it. Phyrexians. At least for black, I mean. Zombies, Phyrexians, and I had a third one in mind, but I'll remember it.
Clerics?
I want it to be clerics because I just built a cleric deck, and that would somewhat make sense within the Cabal for them to be some kind of cultist or cleric. But I don't know if the Cabal are going to be an issue in Dominaria United, considering that the Cabal got taken out, essentially, by Liliana and Gideon last time they were in Dominaria. So I don't think the Cabal is going to be a threat again. I could always be wrong. But, you know, so I think that our two mainline options are essentially either zombies or Phyrexians.
Remember that we were an ability word that didn't start as an ability word returns. And then there's this other one that says a card that grants poison.
Okay, so... No, because poison counters are essentially they're not their own thing, because infect does poison counters, but yeah, I don't think those two are related. The card that grants poison and the ability word that returns, unless I gotta look back, because I know there was a sliver that instead of having infect had poison, he made everything gained pseudo infect essentially, because it didn't have the word infect on it. So that would make some level of sense.
I'm right now searching. Okay, here's a card from the old days. At the beginning, put an infection counter. Oh wait. Feasting. the beginning of your upkeep, you may put an infection counter on feasting wound. Yeah, but that's different. Yeah, I don't see anything here like that the word infect is like out.
Oh, okay. So I did see some like some fun stuff here on Reddit. I do want to see what's the ability domain, because okay, they just said that because you have like the, you know, the colors of the Painbow commander deck that's coming out, it makes sense for the ability domain to be the the thing that the keyword that didn't start as a keyword, essentially. What was it again? I forgot the name. An ability word that didn't start as an ability word.
Yeah,
they're talking about domain, and it has something to do with five colors. I'm personally like just assuming that it's gonna be.
Yeah, I've seen cards like that.
Invasion and Modern Horizons too. So it's a term that refers to cards that rely on and count the number of different basic lands. So in that case, it would make sense, for example, if the five mana value creature got
domain.
So then like +2/+2 for each basic land type among lands.
That makes sense.
Or something like getting like +2/+2 for each color spent to cast it, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So which again would just kind of play into like the whole like Painbow theme.
Mm-hmm. So the next one is we are getting a new artifact with Lotus in its name.
That is most likely like everyone's like most anticipated card at this point.
Yes.
I'm just hoping
we got Jeweled Lotus.
Yeah.
I hope it's not a reprint. Well, it says new, so it can't be gilded.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad it can't be Gilded Lotus. I'm like so happy about it too.
I don't know. I do hope that it's a good. I hope, you know, because the thing is that Wizard of the Coast, we all know that they are like, hey, we know that EDH exists, but we don't care about it that much. But we're gonna keep giving you cards in every set.
I don't think they care. I feel that Wizards just hasn't found a way to very effectively monetize Commander the way that they can do with like Standard or even Modern up to a certain degree.
I would say that you can monetize it if you do make like official events in local game stores.
Yeah, no, but the other thing is that I feel like for them to be able to monetize Commander, they have to be able to impact the format in ways similar to Modern Horizons, right? Like how Modern mm-hmm. Horizons impacts the modern format.
Yeah.
And I think that they did accomplish some of that with Dominaria, but I'm not Dominaria, my bad. With like the Commander, the first iteration of Commander Legends, because Commander Legends Baldur's Gate just didn't do much.
No.
To the format, like at all. But being able to affect a format that way without having to essentially break the format on every single release, I feel like is really difficult with Commander, because Commander just has like these certain like set staples, and usually cards that like make it into the format that way, like unless they're basically like game changing, like it's just people just don't really like, care, I guess. And it's harder to get those certain Commander players to buy sets, I guess.
That is true. That is really, really true. So I hope it's a good Lotus. I hope it's a card that we can use in anything. So the next one and the last one of the like teaser cards is a character players have been requesting get a card for years, finally gets one.
I think that's going to be the Raven Man.
Hmm.
Because we already have art for him.
Probably,
like,
yeah.
I'm pretty, like, I'm almost sure it has to be the Raven Man on this one. I could definitely be wrong. But I do think that that's just going to refer to the Raven Man, even though I don't know if someone already, like, confirmed that the Raven Man was going to be in the set. So I don't know if it's just, like, a redundant, like, thing, or if it's, just that. I don't know if it's going to be, like, redundant, or if it's something actually, like, referring to, like, another character entirely.
I already, like, I've been skimming the list of the cards, yeah, of the effects, and I already like one. I already love one of them.
Actually, I really enjoy the first one. As long as Enchanted Creature is, yeah, legendary, like, I can't wait for that to be something, like, ridiculously strong for Commander. Dude, I hope it,
exactly,
is.
No, I was like, I hope it's white, because I can put it in, yes, in this guy's Commander. Gotcha.
I forgot the name. Light Paws.
Yes.
Yeah.
I added a new card to Light Paws. I added Celestial Mantle to the deck. Ooh. Oh, yes.
Yep. I love Very it. Very fucking fun.
The next one is, you may exile an instant or sorcery card with mana value X or less from among them.
I feel like this is either going to be like a reveal from the top of your library, mm-hmm, card, or it's, yeah, going to be a like exile from your graveyard. Both, like, are just as interesting, to be honest. Yeah. I don't have much to speculate on that one. It just looks fun.
Yeah, it is. Then the next one is, exile each non-land permanent with mana value 2 or less. This is a board wipe.
I do find it interesting, though, that that one is all in, like, it doesn't have any capitalization.
That's true.
So this is, like, in the middle of, like, something's card text. So, mm-hmm, and maybe this is, like, an ETB effect, or...
Or maybe it's like the board wipe that is in Strixhaven.
Hold on. I just realized how strong that is, though.
Yeah.
Each non-land permanent with mana value 2 or less. Wow, that is insane. We're talking about, like, screw your Soul Ring, screw your Mana Crypt, screw, like... You spent the whole game ramping? Yeah? Yeah? Okay, exile all of it. What? You heard me.
like, oh, now you can cast your big dragon or whatever heck you... Dude, this card affects Orengo's Urza commander so hard.
It affects all of my commanders. Like, my...
Does it affect mine? Wait, no. Shurikai has big things.
I mean... I assume this pretty much just kind of hits things all across the board, mm-hmm, because mana value 2, I or feel, less. is pretty, like, yeah. But, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, one drops, like, sure, you got your Soul Rings and your mana dorks, and which is really impactful for, like, players playing in those colors and stuff. But, like, mana value 2, there's so many, like, really strong, mm-hmm, things just kind of floating about mana value 2, yeah, that can really affect your game early on. Like, if you drop something like that early on in the game, like, you're going to screw some people out of the game, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I completely agree. Yeah,
in formats like CEDH, I just personally think it's even stronger, because the earlier you get that down, like, oh, everyone's just relying on the fact that they have rocks on the floor, and then suddenly, boom, you blow it all up, and it's like, okay, well, I guess half of the table is essentially out of the game.
Exactly.
It's like,
we have to start from zero, people. So the next one is enchantment creatures you control have. So
haste.
Have haste. Hexproof.
That's interesting.
Shroud.
Though. That's for enchantment creatures.
Yeah. So probably we'll have a little bit more of enchantment. Enchantment. How do you call it? Boost, because there is already a Naya enchantment deck. That's
are Phyrexians gonna be like half enchantment instead of like half like artifact? Are gonna be enchantment artifacts now?
That's interesting.
Enchantment artifact creature, just make them extra vulnerable.
Ooh, that's spicy as heck.
Nah, but like
enchantment creatures you control have
getting. like I would assume that what this would mean, for example, for standard is that then we're gonna get like where there's a possibility of getting like an enchantment creature deck, which I feel like is a total like. It sucks that that this happened now, and that, for example, the Theros set wasn't released like closer to this, you know, because that's where I feel like you could really take advantage of enchantment builds.
Exactly. And then the thing is that then you have sets like Kamigawa, and Kamigawa had
Kamigawa actually has a fair share of enchantment creatures.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's enchantments and vehicles, so it complements each other.
I'm thinking because we had a bunch of sagas, bunch of new sagas that came out. So I'm thinking maybe like someone that can try to get a build going involving like the old enchantments, and then just like the new sagas. If some of them flip over to creatures, you get more enchantment creatures to work with.
That's true.
Even if it's jank, I think that something really fun involving enchantment creatures might come out of this set, just based off of like this like quick spoiler. Because unless you have like other enchantment creatures to complement this ability with, it wouldn't make sense to have this in a draft box. You know what I mean?
That's true. So the next one is if X is 3 or less.
I got nothing on that one.
So for my guess is that probably this is a card that will have, if X is 3 or less, this happens. If X is 3 or more, this happens.
Okay.
It probably might be that. Just for me, because you know that, for example, Banefire, if you use Banefire for 3, then you just do 3 damage and that's it. But if you do Banefire for 5 or more, the card can't be countered.
Yeah, I remember.
So probably it's something like that. The next one is for each opponent who doesn't, that player loses 2 life and you draw a card.
That sounds like so much fun. That sounds exactly like the kind of card I want to have in a Selvala deck.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But like green white Selvala. It's just like, yeah, let's give it a card. Come on, let's go.
So the next one is instance or sorcery cards with mana value 1 or 2. I feel that this card is so mono red.
I think it's going to be like something either mono red or something blue that's going to mix really well in with like, you know, like Izzet stuff, like for Izzet decks.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I think it could quite possibly be either red or blue. It would be kind of nice to see red get more tools to go like mono red Spellslinger though.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been dying to see like a well like constructed like mono red just absolute like Spellslinger deck. Kind of like how I think Modern a few years back had something similar in which like you had your prowess creatures.
Yeah.
So you just kind of like sling to the face and then have the prowess creatures get bigger. Like if you could get back in standard, that'd be sick.
If mono red still has it if you play mono red in Modern, because Monastery Swiss Spear, what's this other guy's name? From Omket.
I remember. And then they got like the Githu Lava Runner.
Runner, exactly. So it would be cool. It would be cool to see something like that. The next one is very interesting. Pay any amount of mana. So probably this is going to be one of those cards that you pay like you pay the cost of the card and then you can pay as much more just to do something ridiculous in the end, because it's not pay X, it's pay any amount.
I don't know how to feel about that one. Pay any amount of mana. I think that one actually might have to do with like, I think it might be related to like the domain ability somehow.
Probably
on pay any amount of mana, but then like depending on like the colors you'll get like certain effects or something. I don't know.
This next one I really do like it because we do already have Katori that does turn your vehicles to crew 2, but this one turns your vehicles to crew 1.
That's insane.
This is ridiculous. Just imagine that you can
find a kind of short guy with one. Yeah, no, crewing short guy for one sounds insane. But exactly. I feel like it's a little bit redundant in the sense that you already had like a card effect that reduced your crew essentially. Like it made it all two, for example.
Yeah, like, but Contori is for commander, it's not for standard.
Actually, yeah, that's a really good point. Never mind. I'll shut up.
So really this one point. Does complement a lot the Kamigawa set, because in Kamigawa there's a lot of good vehicles. Even though if you think about it, even in New Capenna, but in New Capenna you will get like, I think there's only like two vehicles that are good.
Yeah, I barely remember the vehicles in New Capenna, to be honest.
In the New Capenna, the best one is one that it says that it has XX for the number of exiled cards. And then you can tap it to exile something. So that it's a really good vehicle card. So the next one is, and the last one, that we can go to the end of the list, that are the creature types. Mm-hmm. It says where X is the number of legendary creatures you control.
X is the number of legendary creatures you control. Maybe like a... No, I was thinking it was going to be like maybe something similar to like Kamal's, like the the pseudo Genesis wave, but no, I don't think that's going to be it.
There is already a card in standard that says legendary rule does not apply.
Yeah, I mean, but usually just like that only applies to yourself, not to your opponent. So
yeah, exactly. But okay, but think about it this way. Let's say that you have a creature that's legendary that has a
great effect. I see what you mean. Because like the legendary rule wouldn't apply, but if you copy it over and over, you
exactly.
can... Okay, I see what you mean.
Like, let's say, for instance, Neheb, the one from Hour of Devastation. Mm-hmm. Even though he was a 5-drop, so it's a bad
example.
But just using it in that. So you have Neheb in your standard deck. And then you go ahead, play the artifact. A legendary rule does not apply. Then you have like three Nehebs in your field. And then you're like, okay, so I do this where X is the number of legendary creatures you control. And then I have three Nehebs and whatever else I have in the field that's legendary. And it does X thing. That would be kind of dope. I don't know. Probably we will get, because we've... In the previous, what's that, was it? Yeah, in Kamigawa, we did get the Goshen Tide that makes shrine tokens. So we might get something that makes legendary creature tokens.
That'd be interesting. I mean, it's not the first time we've seen legendary creature tokens, so.
Mm-hmm. But it will be great, because then you have a reason to use the mirror, and then you have a reason to use the card, because then this might be an enchantment, or it might be a sorcery probably, or an instant. It could be one of those three. I don't think it's a artifact, because it's how it reads. It feels like it has like a it has the effect and then this condition.
I mean, it could be something along the lines of like draw X cards where X is the number of legendary creatures you control. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, it could kind of just be any of those things, right? Because if like that's not a lot to go on, but I don't know, it'd be interesting to see.
Okay, so here are the creature types that we will be seeing in the set. We're gonna get Dryad Warriors. We already seen that before. The second one is really interesting, Phyrexian Horse.
That makes sense. You're gonna go to war. You need some horses to go to war, right?
This one is actually cool.
Go to fantasy war.
Elf Archer in red.
Red. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Then we got Lore Goyf.
Elf, wait a minute. With an elf artificer down there, like, are we?
Yeah, there's a legendary creature elf artificer. Yes.
Can you imagine just getting like a bunch of like, essentially like color shifted cards for Dominaria United? Some reason.
You mean
like you get a bunch of red elves and you get like white, like a, like some white demons or something. I don't know, that'd be sick. I don't think that's gonna be the case, but that would be so sick.
Then we got Lorgoyf, that I think that's the creature type of Tarmogoyf, if I'm not mistaken. Correct. Right,
yeah, that's like their species or whatever.
Mm-hmm. We have human core soldiers that we've seen them in the past. Now, legendary creatures. This is the good part, because these can be your future commanders. We have legendary creature elemental demon.
Yes. That alone just sounds like so much fun that I just need to get my hands on it.
Oh, yes. Then we have frog beast.
I'm hoping that aside from the legendary creature frog, that we get one or two extra frogs, because that way we can complement, what's his name? Grolnok, or was that his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we have Elf Artificer. That's the card that Chris mentioned. We're going to get a Viashino Warlock. And then the last one that sounds very interesting, Phyrexian Merfolk Wizard.
Yes. In that sense, I think we're definitely getting I gotta think about any like legendary wizards in Dominaria to see like which one was the one that got his brains taken over.
Mm-hmm. And then, just in case, like, that everybody knows, tomorrow is going to be the official date where spoilers are going to be presented tomorrow, so don't miss out. It's going to be at the Wizard of the Coast Twitch channel and YouTube channel. So go ahead, because they are going to be announcing D&D and Magic the Gathering things for stores, and as well the beginning of our favorite moment that is preview season.
I mean, is it our favorite moment? Like, we're just getting preview season after preview season nowadays.
Oh, God, yes.
But yeah, no, it is our favorite moment. We get to see if, like, some of our speculations come true, see if the speculations that Reddit has have come true. And it's an all-around fun time for everybody. I'm also really excited to see that we're getting D&D content announced along with all of the spoiler season things coming in, because that means we're most likely getting a Dominaria setting for D&D. Yes. Which big stuff. Like, I've been waiting for this like for years, and I think like when one of the last podcasts where we actually talked about D&D and Magic as like a thing, right? That's like one of the things that, like, I mentioned. It was like, hey, like, why have we not gotten a Dominaria source book yet? Wizards, what are you doing? Well, I guess I got my answer. Like, this is what they were waiting for this whole time. I'm hoping that's it.
Yes,
this is the moment to capitalize on it. You know, like, you're celebrating 30 years of Magic. You're coming back to one of your most iconic sets ever. Like, this is the moment to release your source book. So I'm really, really excited about this.
not only that, one of the things that I wanted to mention here in tonight's live stream is that I will be speaking with Chris, because Chris is a dungeon master. So here at Cardboard Cave, we do talk about Magic, but as well, we're geeks. So we will be trying to see if we can spice up the channel, have a couple of one shots with Chris, let it be Magic related or let it be an adventure for us. And as well,
If it's going to be on the Cardboard Cave like page, it's going to be Magic related.
But it would be kind of cool that you can find a group of people that can go inside StreamYard and play some D&D.
I would love to. I mean, and if there's any other viewers that might be interested, like, I would definitely be willing to try something out with, like, you know, being able to coordinate those sessions to be able to get some viewers in here, because it's always fun to interact with you guys.
It is. So, Chris, everything that we spoke about today, do you have any last thoughts?
Everyone, just hold on to the edge of your seats. Tomorrow sounds like it's going to be a fantastic day for Magic and for Dungeons and Dragons. And hopefully we're going to get a mix of both of those things in some of those announcements. As always, you know, we've had billions of announcements of like a bunch of Magic product all over the place. And all I got to say is, hey, man, if a product's bad, buy singles.
Yes.
Anything else you want to you want to like send us off with, John?
So just a reminder again, August 31st, don't miss out our Commander fan night. And if everything goes well in an email that I just received from the Cardboard Cave, we will have a big announcement for our viewers. So I will be giving the details to Chris and I will present him what we're going to be doing. So that's we have to keep it a secret for now because it's still not official. But in regards to that, August 31st, put it in your calendar. Don't miss out that live stream. All of us against two of our fans. Because what we're going to do, just to give you a small explanation, guys, we will be randomly choosing pod one and pod two in regards to our fans. Our fans will be going against two of us and then the other two as a second round. Like that, you guys can have great commander games while the other team is playing. Then the team that is on, you know, benched, they will comment, talk to everybody, and if they do see something that like a ruling or something, they're there like that, we can, you know, keep the flow going in the game. So again, and like I mentioned at the beginning, our merchandise store link is on the top. Just go ahead, click it, check whatever shirt you like or sweatshirt. We have shirts as well for females, so if you guys are interested in any of our merchandise, just go ahead, go to the link, and whatever you order will go straight to your home as well. Altersleeves.com, use the affiliated link or use our affiliated code Cardboard Cave, get 5% off your order, and it will be great because you would be supporting us. And as well, if you guys want to give us a tip or anything, we do have our tip jar on the top. Like that, you can just go ahead, click, donate anything that you want. It's just for us to keep moving forward and making more content for you guys. So this episode will be live on Friday. So tomorrow we will be editing it and posting it in the social media platforms. So, and as well, be paying attention to our Facebook page because we will be paying attention to the Magic the Gathering live stream to keep you guys up to date on everything Magic the Gathering related and as well content for you guys. There is something that JP is cooking already. I think he does have the first episode done in paper. We're just waiting for him to record it like that we can post it, but he will be giving you guys a in-depth upgrade for your commanders. He will go forward with different commanders like that. He can give you tips of what cards to remove and add to your commander. So Chris, tell the people, where can the people find you? Wait, wrong side. Find you.
All right, so the people can sometimes find me in my Twitch, streaming every once in a blue moon, different games. Thinking of going back to Ghost Runner, so that'll be fun. And you can find me here, the Cardboard Cave Podcast, and on all of our social media, interacting with each and every person that sends us a quick message. So, John, where can they find you and everyone else?
So guys, you can find me straightly forward in Cardboard Cave. I will be putting my gloves off. I'm not going to be working at Reel In Films no more. I'm going to be dedicating my time to Cardboard Cave and as well to the Nerdy Basement. So if you guys want to see myself interview directors, actors, and comic book creators, go to the Nerdy Basement on YouTube and on their website. That my they have great, amazing content, and as well they do have movie reviews and they have different comic book reviews, but as well they have myself interviewing all of these amazing creators of the entertainment business. So if you guys want to check that out, a couple of interviews are already up in YouTube. The most recent one is the interview with the creators of the comic book that will be releasing on the 19th on Friday that is called True Cult. So if you guys want to know how True Cult is was created and the idea, go to the Nerdy Basement and you will see that interview right there. So that's where you can find me as well in the Movie Guy podcast. That these couple of days I haven't been able to go and be a part of it because of, you know, me having a family, you know, family goes first. So plus we're still on the verge of moving. We hope so that everything goes well in regards to that. But don't forget, you can find Odengo everywhere. Just find him. He makes movies, and as well, he does have a very great episode. If I'm not mistaken, it's tomorrow. He's going to be interviewing a Puerto Rican director. He's the one that directed Pica. Oh shit, I forgot the name of the movie. Is it Picando Alante? I think so is that one. I don't remember. It's a Puerto Rican movie that was released a couple of months ago. He will be talking to him. This is Israel Lugo. So pass by in Cinema's podcast or as well in the Movie Guy podcast. And JP, you guys know, you can find them here in the Cardboard Cave podcast page. So I hope you guys have a great day. Don't forget about tomorrow's preview season starting. And we will see you in the next one. Bye-bye.